Last time we looked at chapter 1 of Ephesians, and we had read down together verses 1 through 14, and we started to look at the spiritual blessings that you and I have as Christians in high places. So I wanted to continue and pick up and look at the spiritual, what these spiritual blessings include. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for the blessing of this opportunity to study thy word, Father. I pray you'd bless the listener today. We pray that you'd bless your word as it goes out and as you promised that we'll not return void. We just pray that you'd have your will and your way in our study today. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, these spiritual blessings include the following. First of all, as believers, as Christians, as being in Christ, we are blameless before Him. We are blameless before Him. Looking in Ephesians chapter 1 with me, in verse number 4, we read in the words of God, "According as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." See, right now, as believers, we are already justified by Him. Look in Romans chapter 5 with me. We'll come back to Ephesians chapter 1. But look in Romans chapter 5. And notice with me, verse number 9 in Romans 5. Notice what the words of God have to say in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. We read this, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." See? So we're justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His shed blood, amen. And we're going to be saved from the wrath of God. Wrath of God no longer abides upon us because we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. However, we still live in a body of sin. When we actually stand before God, we will be totally holy and blameless in our spirit, soul, and body. And that's because we will have a glorified body. According to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3 with me, in verse number 21, we read this, "Who shall change our vile body?" And in the context, it's talking about when the Lord comes for the church, for the believer, for the body of Christ at the rapture. "Who shall change," the who is the Lord Jesus Christ, "who shall change our vile body." It's a strong word, isn't it, vile? But that's what our flesh is. It's vile and it's wicked. "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body." The body, our body is going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So there's more to come, amen? This is the predestination of everyone in Christ. So the first spiritual blessing includes we are blameless before the Lord. The second is, we are adopted by Him. The second spiritual blessing is we are adopted by Him. Now we need to return to the book of Ephesians with me. There in chapter number 1. And notice what it says in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 1. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, the good pleasure of God's will is that all souls in Christ should be adopted into God's family. By being in Christ as a result of salvation, we are predestinated to this adoption. Look at in Romans chapter 8. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. And when you get to Romans chapter 8, we want to look at verses 14 through 16, Romans 8. Words of God say this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." What a tremendous blessing. We are adopted. Amen. It's God's will for all souls in Christ to be adopted into God's family. What a wonderful spiritual blessing that we've been adopted by the Lord Himself, that we're part of His family now. Not only that, but we are sons now. But we will enjoy even greater benefits of this adoption in eternity when we receive bodies that look like, just like Jesus Christ. Notice with me in John's first epistle, chapter 3 and verse 2, the words of God say this: "Beloved, now." Now notice that word "now," meaning present tense, right now. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So far we've looked at these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We are blameless before Him. We are adopted by Him. And now, we want to see, number three, we are accepted by Him. We are accepted by Him. Again, we need to go back to Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 6. Notice with me what the words of God said: "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." We are accepted by Him. We are accepted in the Beloved. Now, this is a great blessing, considering that most people have the desire to be accepted. And no matter the past, no matter what you've done in the past, once you are in Christ, you are accepted in the Beloved. You are accepted by Christ. What a tremendous blessing, is it not? So our spiritual blessings include: we are blameless before Him, before the Lord. We are adopted by Him. We are accepted by Him. And number four, the fourth spiritual blessing, is we are redeemed by Him. Look at in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." My goodness, what a wonderful spiritual blessing. We are redeemed by Him. All of the sins of our lives are forgiven. You see, God cannot see them through the blood of Jesus Christ, nor can he remember them. See? Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. We need to turn to Hebrews chapter 10 in verse number 17. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, notice what the very words of God say. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, we read this. In their sins, in iniquities, will I remember no more. See that? That's what the Lord says. In their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Not only that, there is no need to offer him anything, since the blood of Christ has already been offered to pay for them. Look at in the next verse, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 18, the words of God say, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. My dear friend listening today, what a beautiful spiritual, magnificent spiritual blessing that we have in Christ. Amen. We are redeemed by him. Let's move on to the next one. Our next spiritual blessing that we want to look at. And the next one is, we are given wisdom by him. We are given wisdom by him, by the Lord. Look at in Ephesians chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1 with me, we want to look at and read together in Ephesians chapter number 1 in verses 8 and 9. Notice what the words of God say here. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You see, my friend, in Christ, Jesus becomes our wisdom. In Christ, Jesus becomes our wisdom. Notice, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 in verse number 30. The words of God say this, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. See that? Thus, you and I have the wisdom to live our new life in Christ in accordance with God's will and for his pleasure. Amen? We still have more spiritual blessings to look at. They seem endless. So far, we've seen these spiritual blessings that we have in heavenly places in Christ include we are blameless before him. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. We are adopted by him in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. We are accepted by him in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. We are redeemed by him, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We are given wisdom by him in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The next spiritual blessing we want to look at is we are one with him. We are one with him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. The words of God say this, this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Again, although we are one with Christ now, we are separated from being fully in his presence by this body of sin. Turn with me for a moment. We'll come back to Ephesians chapter 1. To 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, we read this. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See that? When we leave this earth, when we leave this body of sin, we will be present with the Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, the words of God have this to say. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what the body is referred to as, an earthen vessel. We have a treasure inside of that, the Holy Spirit. Now, after the Lord returns, after rapture, for the body of Christ, for his church, we will be with him in his presence forevermore. How do we know this? Well, let's turn to the Gospel of John and hear it from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, in verses 22 to 24, we read this. In the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Here is the Lord's Prayer. God the Son praying God the Father. And he's saying to God the Father, he's praying, in the glory which thou gavest me, the glory that God the Father gave the Son, Jesus says, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. You know, he's talking about the disciples. He's talking about future believers in him. Verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. Again, in them and in thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. See? So, he is showing here that we are one in him. Amen. Then in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a tremendous blessing that we have. That someday, that we, when we leave, when he returns for us, for the church, that we will be in his presence forevermore. That we will be one with him, not only spiritually, but physically. What a tremendous blessing that lies ahead for us. Now, The next spiritual blessing that we want to look at is that as believers, we have an inheritance with Him. We have an inheritance with Him. Now look with me, if you would, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, in Christ, we are predestinated by God to receive an inheritance with Jesus Christ as joint heirs with Him. Now look in Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8, and I want you to pay particular attention to what this verse says. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If children, then heirs, heirs of God. So, if you're a child of God, as a result of that, you have acquired an inheritance. You're an heir of God. Now, here we go. We talk about joint heirs. And joint heirs with Christ, if there's a condition. Okay, see, there's a difference between inheritances. There's an acquired inheritance and an earned inheritance. The acquired inheritance is a result of you being a child of God. Now, this earned inheritance talks about in joint heirs with Christ, how? If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So we will receive this inheritance following the judgment seat of Christ and enjoy it with Jesus when He reigns over the earth in the millennium. See? And as we see this particular inheritance where we're joint heirs with Christ is conditional. It's conditioned on suffering. Amen? Yes, absolutely. It has to do with ruling and reigning with Christ. Amen. As a result of suffering for the name of Christ, for living for Christ, for all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look at in 2 Timothy with me. 2 Timothy for a minute. I want you to notice something here. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 12. Notice what it says. If we suffer. Okay, so here's a condition. When you see that word if means condition, conditional. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Here's a good verse that those that believe that you can lose your salvation take out of context. Salvation is not in the context of this verse. He's saying, again, we're looking at inheritance. The inheritance that's joint heirs with Christ. We get to reign with Him when He comes back to this earth. But it's conditioned on suffering. And it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. So if you suffer for Christ, for living for Christ, amen, for following Christ, amen, you're going to suffer. There's no doubt about it. If you mean business with God and you're going to live with Christ, you're going to experience persecution. But as a result of that, it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So when the Lord returns at the second advent to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, those who have suffered, those believers who have suffered for Christ, will rule, be part of that ruling and reigning with Christ. But it says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. What does it mean, deny him? It has nothing to do with losing your salvation. In the context, it's talking about suffering for Christ now, so that you can reign with him later on. So in the context, it's dealing with suffering. So if you don't suffer for Christ, if you live, even though you're saved, you're living a worldly life. You're not living for Christ the way you should, you know, and so forth and so on. And you're friendly with the world, and you have friendship with the world. Then you're not suffering. So he's going to deny you from reigning with him when he returns. But notice the next verse. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So you're not going to lose your salvation, amen. You're just going to be denied to be able to rule and reign when Christ returns. So we have an inheritance with him. And now we want to see that you and I, as believers, we're sealed by him. We are sealed by him. Look with me back in Ephesians chapter 1. And we want to look at verses 13 and 14. In whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now, these verses state clearly that these spiritual blessings and the predestination to benefit by them are conditioned upon being in Christ. And they also show the progression of salvation. First of all, a sinner hears the word of truth, the gospel. Second, he trusts in Christ, and at which time he's put in Christ. Third, he is sealed by the Holy Spirit. This guarantees that he is eternally secure. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we read, Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then fourth, the believer is finally fully redeemed when Christ returns. Amen? Look with me in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, look with me, if you would, in verses 22. Romans 8, verses 22 to 23. We read this, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves within ourselves waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. So, all of these blessings are to the praise of God's glory. Amen. Since they come from him and are freely given to us in Christ Jesus. So these are the spiritual blessings for all of those who are in Christ. We are seated in heavenly places. And we are partakers of each one, possessors of each one of these spiritual blessings. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue our study in the book of Ephesians.